Let's turn to Numbers chapter 3. Numbers 3. Now, these are the records of the generations of Aaron and Moses at the time when the Lord spoke with Moses on Mount Sinai. These then are the names of the sons of Aaron: Nadab, the firstborn, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the anointed priests whom he ordained to serve as priests. But Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. So Eleazar and Ithamar served as priests in the lifetime of their father Aaron. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Bring the tribe of Levi near and set them before Aaron the priest, that they may serve him. And they shall perform the duties for him and for the whole congregation before the tent of meeting to do the service of the tabernacle. They shall also keep all the furnishings of the tent of meeting along with the duties of the sons of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. You shall thus give the Levites to Aaron and to his sons, and they are wholly given to him from among the sons of Israel. So you shall appoint Aaron and his sons that they may keep their priesthood, but the layman who comes near shall be put to death." Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Now behold, I have taken the Levites from among the sons of Israel instead of every firstborn, the first issue of the womb among the sons of Israel, so the Levites shall be mine. For all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborn in Israel. From man to beast, they shall be mine. I am the Lord." Then the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, "Number the sons of Levi by their fathers' households, by their families, every male from a month old and upward you shall number." So Moses numbered them according to the word of the Lord, just as he had commanded. These then are the sons of Levi by their names, Gershon and Kohath and Merari. These are the names of the sons of Gershon by their families, Libni and Shimei. The sons of Kohath by their families, Amram and Izhar, Hebron and Uziel. And the sons of Merari by their families, Mahli and Mushi. These are the families of the Levites according to their father's household. Of Gershon was the family of the Libnites and the family of the Shimites. These were the families of the Gershonites. Their numbered men, in the numbering of every male from a month old and upward, even their numbered men were 7,500. The families of the Gershonites were to camp behind the tabernacle westward, and the leader of the father's households of the Gershonites was Eliasaph, the son of Lael. Now, the duties of the sons of Gershon in the tent of meeting involved the tabernacle and the tent, its covering and the screen and the doorway of the tent of meeting, and the hangings of the court and the screen of the doorway of the court, which is around the tabernacle and the altar and its cords, according to all the service concerning them. And to Kohath was the family of the Amramites, and the family of the Izharites, and the family of the Hebronites, and the family of the Uzielites. These were the families of the Kohathites. In the numbering of every male from a month old and upward, there were 8,600 performing the duties of the sanctuary. The families of the sons of Kohath were to camp on the southward side of the tabernacle. And the leader of the father's households of the Kohathite families were Eliphaz and the son of Uziel. Now their duties involved the ark, the table, the lampstand, the altars, and the utensils of the sanctuary for which they minister, and the screen and all the service concerning them. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, was the chief of the leaders of Levi and had the oversight of those who performed the duties of the sanctuary. Of Merari was the family of the Mahalites and the family of the Mushites. These were the families of Merari. Their numbered men in the numbering of every male from a month old and upward were 6,200. And the leader of the father's households of the families of Merari were Zuiel, the son of Abihail. They were to camp on the northward side of the tabernacle. Now the appointed duties of the sons of Merari involved the frames of the tabernacle, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, all its equipment, and the service concerning them. And the pillars around the court with their sockets and their pegs and their cords. Now those who were to camp before the tabernacle eastward, before the tent of meeting, toward the sunrise are Moses and Aaron and his sons performing the duties of the sanctuary for the obligation of the sons of Israel. But the layman coming near was to be put to death. All the numbered men of the Levites whom Moses and Aaron numbered at the command of the Lord by their families, every male from a month old and upward, were 22,000. Then the Lord said to Moses, Number every firstborn male of the sons of Israel from a month old and upward, and make a list of their names. And you shall take the Levites for me, I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn among the sons of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the cattle of the sons of Israel. So Moses numbered all the firstborn among the sons of Israel, just as the Lord had commanded him. And all the firstborn males by the number of names from a month old and upward for their number men were 22,273. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the sons of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites, and the Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord. And for the ransom of the 273 of the firstborn of the sons of Israel who are in excess beyond the Levites, you shall take 5 shekels apiece per head. You shall take them in terms of the shekel of the sanctuary. The shekel is 20 gerahs. And give the money and ransom of those who are in excess among them to Aaron and to his sons. So Moses took the ransom money from those who were in excess beyond those ransomed by the Levites, from the firstborn of the sons of Israel. He took the money in terms of the shekel of the sanctuary, 1,365. Then Moses gave the ransom money to Aaron and to his sons at the command of the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Amen. Okay. So we're still in the census part. We're still in the numbering part here. And in this particular numbering part, now he's going to deal with this particular tribe of the Levites. This is actually a very, very important passage for us to really grasp and understand. So according to God's own word, this is after the Exodus when, I mean, he says it here, but also there's more depictions in Exodus, and actually later on in Numbers, he'll talk about it more again, especially in chapter 8. But what he did is when he killed the firstborn of the Egyptians, not only did he save the firstborn of the Israelites, but he set them apart. He consecrated them. Now, I mean, it's so easy to preach on this, okay? Think about that for ourselves. Not only did God save you, right? He set you apart for his purposes. Did you catch that? Right? Thanks, Ben. Right? I mean, think about that for a moment. Not only did God save you, just like God saved the Israelites, the firstborn. He saved them. They should have died, okay? He saves them because they participated by the blood. In other words, they were saved because of the blood. You are saved because of the blood. You're not just saved to take up a seat in church. You're not just saved to be saved. You know what I mean? You're saved for a purpose. You know, we say this a lot at SP, right? You're blessed to be a blessing. And so in that regard, the blessings of God come into your life so you can be a blessing. It's not a command or duty, but it's an overflow of what you receive from God. In that same regard, you are saved. The firstborn of the Israelites, they were saved. Their lives were saved, and for a purpose, they were consecrated for a service. And God's original plan, okay, follow along with this. God's original plan was for the firstborn of every tribe, the firstborn of every family, would go and serve in the house of God. They would be set apart, the firstborn consecrated to serve in God's house. What happened? What happened to change God's plan? What happened to put a little wrench in that? What happened? Sin. Do you remember when they built the golden calf? And this really was the reason why he picks the Levites above and beyond every other tribe. I mean, there's a couple reasons. One is, if you notice, the Levites are the smallest of all the tribes. It says here that they number 22,000. Actually, that number is a lot less because they're numbered, the Levites, by a month old and up. How was everyone else numbered? 20 years old. So you're missing everyone from 1 month to 20. And so I imagine that's quite a sizable amount of people. I mean, if they're anything like our church, you know, it's a pretty sizable amount of people. You know, all the infants and the young people. And so this figure is actually probably much less comparatively, if you, you know, apples to apples, you know, compared to the other tribes. And so this is, again, God's commitment to always use the least. Isn't that interesting? His commitment to always use the least. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 1? God has chosen the foolish things of the world, right, to shame those things that are wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame those things that are strong. The base things, the things that are not, to shame those things that are, that no man may boast before the Lord. And so we see how clearly, you know, this has been God's work all the way from the beginning. I mean, you look all through the prophets, you look through the kings, the chronicles, you know, you go through the New Testament, you know, instead of the scholars and scribes and the Pharisees, he chooses fishermen. Right? And tax collectors. Yeah, I mean, tax collectors meaning, you know, like the worst, you know, kind of worst white-collar occupation around during that time. And this is God's constant desire to use the least. And so, man, this is, I don't know about you, this is good news, right? This is good news for everybody. You know, not many of us would be royalty. You know, not many of us would be so wealthy. Not many of us would be, you know, successful in the eyes of the world. But that doesn't matter to God. He does not judge on outward appearance. God always looks at the heart. And so that goes that. But more so, the issue was faithfulness. Remember in Exodus chapter 32, when Moses comes down from Sinai, and he sees this golden calf, and he sees these people doing debaucherous acts with one another and made this calf. Remember what Moses said? He says, who will stand with me? You know who stood with him? The Levites. Go back and read Exodus 32. All the Levites came out and said, we will stand with you, Moses. And Moses said, go take your swords, put it on your thigh, we're going to war right now. And they end up killing 3,000 of their own countrymen that day that had not taken God's side, basically. Can you imagine that? I mean, these guys were faithful. And so what was the reward? I mean, so you think about this. What was it that thwarted the firstborn from being keepers of the tabernacle? What was it? It was sin. Sin. Sin will detract you, will derail you from your great purpose of God. The enemy will do everything he needs to do to take you out, and he'll entice you, he'll tempt you. Sin will be crouching at your door, and sin, I mean, will just try to overpower us. You know, and I'm just not talking about sin, and, you know, especially in our Western world, we always think of, like, sexual sin. Forget that, man. You know, I mean, of course, those things are there, but I'm talking about the sin of greed, right? The sin of the pride of life, you know, the sins that are deep within us that take us away, the sin of unforgiveness. You know, can imagine there's so many different things that take us away from the great high purposes of God in our life. And the firstborn of Israel lost this privilege because they desired other things than God. Right? They were set apart, consecrated to the Lord, but yet they desired other things. And God says, okay, I mean, this is, you know, he's a holy God. He's going to work with holy people. That's just a simple reality. So what does God do? He says, okay, not you, you. Right? In other words, God is sovereign. Don't ever lose sight of that. God's work will be accomplished. Many of the plans of the man's heart, but the plans of the Lord, they will prevail, Proverbs tells us. And so there's a lot of things here. So the unfaithful, I want to put you to the side. Right? I mean, you're not forgotten. You know, you're not, but you just don't get the special privilege. Off to the side. So let me find some faithful people, and he brings the Levites into that place. Man, the passage just preaches itself. You know what I mean? I mean, you can't get any better than this. I mean, you want to see the folly of sin and the effect that it has for us? We read Paul, and he says in Romans, for the wages of sin is death. And we think, ah, yeah, whatever. You know, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Listen, friends, the wages of sin is death of God's destiny in your life. Obviously, there's always redemption, okay? And he finishes off with this story. That's why the end of this is really important. And so this thing happens. The firstborn, the Israelites, they fail miserably after consecration. So God sets them aside and says, okay, you're off to the side. I'm going to use faithful people. So he grabs the Levites, the only ones in the tribe of Israel that were faithful on the day that it mattered. You know what I mean? I mean, there's days when it matters. That day was when it mattered. When Moses stands up and says, who is going to stand with me? You know, I mean, there's moments, you know what I mean? There's moments, it's like when Joshua goes before the people and he says, well, you can follow your gods, you can do whatever you want, but as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. And so there's moments in our life, there's moments of faith, there's divine moments that we step into, and in those moments, we choose one way or the other. You know, I love Joshua. Choose for yourself this day who you're going to serve, either the gods that your forefathers served across the river or the gods. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. And there's a moment of faith that comes in our lives. And my prayer for us as a church, myself individually, for you as a congregation, when that moment of faith comes for you, that you will not be found wanting, that you will stand up and say, here I am, Lord. Send me, right? It's a huge thing. And so in that moment when it mattered, the Levites said, I'm here right now. Here I am, God. I'm here to do your will. And that's precisely what they do. And God, and if you look at, remember going back to the Exodus passage, and the Lord speaks to the Levites, and he says, all right, consecrate yourself because you're going to receive a blessing from the Lord, you know, after they slay the 3,000. And it comes right here in Numbers 3. He says, all the other households of Israel, they're going to be men of war. But you, son of Levi, you are going to be men of my presence. You're going to take care of my house. You're going to take care of my utensils. You're going to take care of my work in sacrifice. It's amazing. What an amazing privilege. You know, I mean, you know, really practically, great thing is these guys don't have to die in war. I mean, can you imagine how great that is? I know that, you know, Korea is a very, very emotional country. You know, very emotional country. And this is a good thing and it's a bad thing. But one of the good stuff about that is that, you know, if you play for any Korea sports teams and you do really well on the international stage and you're a man, you are exempted from going to military service. It's awesome. You don't have to die. You know, I mean, the prospect of dying or whatnot. And, I mean, it's you're talking about life and death. And not only do you not have to go to battle, right, then you get to take care of God's house, the most precious things of God. God, you, brothers and sisters, are faithful before the Lord. You will be entrusted with God's most faithful possessions, right? You will have in your charge God's most important things. We're talking about authority. God gives you authority. God gives you influence, right? What is the partnership from us? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. See, SP, God is not interested in perfection, okay? That's not so high on his... He knows us, but God is interested in faithfulness. There's something about that moment of time and somebody rises up and says, me, here I am. Send me. I'm willing, Lord, to do whatever you ask me to do. Those times are coming. I think that time is here, actually, to be honest, right now at SP this year, and according to my message that I shared yesterday, I really believe it's here right now, and waiting for a remnant, hopefully more than a remnant, an army that says, Peace, Sam, I'm here. I'm here to pray. I'm here to seek his face. I'm here to warfare with the church. I'm here. I got your back, right? I'm going for this thing. I'm going to run hard, right? I think the time is here for this moment to come. Now, let me finish this off. Now, the firstborn are not forgotten, okay? Look what he does here. He numbers them. He numbers the firstborn. Remember, the Levites were 22,000. The firstborn, as they number in all the other tribes, are 22,273. There's an exchange that happens, and there's a discrepancy of 273. So what does he do? He asks for ransom tribute. In other words, he is going to ransom the 273. So, in other words, they're not lost. You know, they're not forgotten. God is going to pay the price. And what does he do? And he gives that money to Aaron. You know, Aaron, I mean, to do all the work of the tabernacle, Aaron, remember he had four sons. Two of his sons were knuckleheads. They died. And so then two left. And so for three guys to do all this work, impossible. And so they need a lot of help in this regard. So he is shy 273 people. That was according to the word of the Lord. And so God never forgets, even one penny, you know what I mean? Even one, you know, minor detail, he does, and he makes restitution himself. He gives a ransom, gives the money to Aaron, right? It's kind of like even Stephen in this regard. But it's this idea, right, of redemption. The firstborn, they also get redeemed. And so just because, you know, let's say you're saved, right? You're consecrated, but you're not faithful. God doesn't forget about you either. And he didn't forget about the firstborn, and he redeems him. You know, and the figure or the mode by which he does that is through this ransom money. And, you know, it's exactly what it is. It's a ransom. In the same way, Paul will use that same figure speech and that same idea when he tells us that Jesus was a ransom for our sins. And so thus, you know, continue to stamp the fact that God still redeems. Amen? Let's close our eyes. You know, let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. It's the moment of faithfulness. The moment of faith. Moses is standing up and saying, "Who's for me?" Will you stand and say, "Here I am"? It's a powerful passage, extremely powerful passage. I couldn't follow up my sermon any better than this passage. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Faithfulness. Sin will derail you from the purposes of God. Because God is great. That doesn't mean that you're out of the picture, but it will derail you. You need to get back on the tracks. So don't let sin derail you, brothers and sisters. Right? Who gets God's precious things? Who gets his influence, his authority? Simple. It's men and women who are faithful. This is like no gray area. You know what I mean? This is just black and white, man. Who gets? Men and women who are faithful. Especially in those moments of faith. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. Let's number ourselves with the Levites. Let's pray in that time of faith that we will rise up like them. Not only not participate in the sin, but also come together and say, "We're going to stand with you, Moses. Lord, we're going to do your will no matter what." Can you imagine how painful it was for the Levites to kill their own brothers? Can you imagine that? But they just obeyed the Lord. Powerful. So as we sing, let's meditate and pray.
with your hand and lead me in your righteousness, and I look to you and I
Let's just continue to meditate on the passage. Let's pray this morning that our faith will be proven in that moment, that divine moment. Let's really earnestly go before the Lord this morning. Let's repent of our sins if we need to. Let's pray for God's faith in our lives. Let's go before Jesus. Let's pray over our community that has been battling illness, particularly in this slide, cancer and recovery. Let's pray for God's healing word in their lives and just God's embrace over their whole family. Let's pray for our community that's ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray that God would just make himself known to each one of them and heal them as well. Let's pray for our community that's ill with non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision and just really the very well use of their time right now. go to our member focus, and this morning let's pray for Kathy Lamb. Let's pray for her mom that she's lost strength in both legs in December. Pray for her to walk again and her dementia and Parkinson's. Pray for her dad who's losing strength in his legs as well. Pray for strength in body, mind, and spirit. And pray for wisdom and unity for family to take care of the aging parents. So let's just cover Kathy and her parents. Let's pray for Sue Moon. Let's pray for her family planning to give a birth to a healthy baby and a smooth transition into the next stage of marriage. Pray for wisdom required to handle multiple roles efficiently, workplace, house church leader, wife, and daughter, and pray for her intimacy with God. Pray for Joanna. Let's pray that she would consecrate her heart to the Lord. Pray for unmerited favor and fruitfulness at her work, and especially a harvest for God at her workplace, and MS and ICC, and two specific people on her team, J and D. And let's pray for their salvation. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. Lord, help us to be faithful, God. We're faithful in the big things and also faithful in the little things, God. Lord, help us to, in those moments of faith, God, that we would rise up, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this congregation this morning, God. Lord, use us today to bring glory to your Son, Jesus, in all that we do. Thank you for the opportunity, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and keep warm and healthy during the fast, and we'll see you tomorrow.